Jim, 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 Jim.
Yesterday, folks, I got an email today. Jim, you sounded sad yesterday, like you lost $20,000 on your credit card or something like that. It's true. It's a true story. I was on the phone a lot today talking to people. I actually called the store where the $20,000 worth of construction and farming equipment were purchased, and they were very helpful in telling me, yes, sir, it's $20,000. Thank you very much. It's actually $19,881. What I'm finding over the past couple of days is the more I talk about losing $20,000, the more people walk away from me. But when people find out that I've lost $20,000, allegedly, I gotta get it back, people start giving you money. I had like a George Bailey moment. He's the one from It's a Wonderful Life. You know what? I'm just going to shut up and get on with the show. Did you see that guy who, it says in the story here, allegedly opened the emergency exit on an airplane? I don't know. The emergency exit was open. He was the one standing by it. But in his defense, the in-flight movie, Fast 10. So I think we all can understand. There's a dude in Florida who lost his arm to an alligator. He says it's not the end of the world. I love that positive attitude whenever somebody has got, like, say you lost, I don't know, $20,000 on your credit card because somebody bought farming equipment, and somebody came up to me to cheer me up and go, hey, it's not the end of the world. I would high-five him. I would high-five this guy. Whoops. The story was he lost his arm in an alligator accident when the alligator bought. But I'd still, in spirit, dude, I'd be like, hey, high five to you. And a bear barged into a Connecticut bakery, scaring the employees, eating 60 cupcakes. And even worse, the bear did not tip. And no, I'm not going to do that one. It's about Boris Johnson and Trump. And I got a lot enough problems right now that I don't need people emailing me nasty things. I'm Jim Richards.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I am on. We are all on with an action-packed show right here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. And I didn't think that we had it for today, but it looks like the charisma dials put them down to about three quarters because we might bust open your radio sometime tonight here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
Jim Richards has issues.
A lot of them today.
On the iHeart Radio Talk Network.
That is right. Big scary news out of Toronto, where they found, because of a whistleblower, that the city of Toronto has been providing people who smoke crack and meth pipes. Has the city's logo on it. I don't know why they got to go that far. But they learned this information from a whistleblower. Here's Anthony Fury, who's running for mayor.
Taxpayers would be alarmed to hear just what's really going on with the drug culture being pushed by City Hall.
Drug culture. I had to Google it. Special tip to the whistleblower. By the way, I think all whistleblowers should have to whistle. Can we do a topic where if you want to blow the whistle on something, you've got to call in, but pass a whistling contest? Or like it'd be like breathing into a breathalyzer. If you can whistle, then you can complain about something. That's the way I think it should work. But here's what I've learned about the whistleblower. This is a really smart guy or woman who has found out this information, which has been on the Toronto website. Oh, how did the whistleblower find that out? It's on the Toronto City of Toronto website. And Anthony Fury is like, we've got to get people off of drugs, not on drugs. Because I know when I found out about the story, I was like, yay, I get to start doing crack. Free pipes? I will miss you, my teeth, but because a lot of people who do meth, they don't have their teeth anymore. Listen, I'll miss you, teeth, but I'm going to start smoking crack because there is like a plastic pipe that I'd be given with the City of Toronto logo on it. Yeah, you gotta get rid of this program, public health harm reduction. Now, you gotta think, like, why? Do we want more crack addicts? Who doesn't? It's one of the top issues in the election here in Toronto. Why can't we have more crackheads? And sorry, that's not people with crack addiction. I don't know what you would call the politically correct. Complain to me about calling people crackheads. They're people too, is my point. Harm reduction means what? I don't know. It turns out I just did an easy Google here. I don't know if you have Google where you are, Anthony, but here's my Google. What harm can come from sharing pipes? And apparently all sorts of different harm, diseases can come from sharing pipes. So maybe that's why they did it. Public health. I don't know. Yes, the city of Toronto wants to keep more people on drugs. That's what it is. Keep up the good job, Anthony. All right. The education minister in the province of Ontario, his name is Stephen Lecce. He's also maybe the chief security guard, because you know when the security guard says, stop, or I'll tell you to stop again. Stephen Lecce out again with newly worded, basically the same thing he said about a month ago when he said we are in favor of flying the pride flag, but didn't say anything about it. But today says
our message to children in our schools, particularly from the LGBTQ+, is that we see them, we value them, and we are proud as a government to stand with them now more than ever.
And we're not going to do anything about giving taxpayer money to the Catholic school board, because they can do whatever they want. But we're with you, but we're not doing anything about it. Keep up the good work. Here is the chairman of the York District School Board telling us why he voted to not fly the pride flag.
What it says to them is that our cross and our faith is primary, and we want to have you see that, in fact, the fact that we stand out says, or asks the question, what's different about your Catholic? What's different about us is that we stand for our faith, we stand for Christ, and so
I'd like to have you tell me what part of the teachings of Jesus, when you say you stand for Christ, point that out to me. Find it and point it out to me. But he also went on to say about raising the flag.
First of all, one of the things we found is raising the flag, in many cases, does not change what students are feeling and experiencing. What matters, I think, is how do you change the structure of the board? In other words, one of the things we would like to see is a root cause analysis of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of people here who are bigoted towards the LGBTQ community. I wonder why that is. We need an investigation. Well, why don't you get the same guy who's the whistleblower in the Anthony Fury case? Maybe that guy would be able to help you. It's like, gee, I wonder, at me going like, why do I have a terrible show? Who would be to blame for that? If only we had somebody to tell us why I had a terrible show, who could that be? Great job, dude. Great job. And then many people from that community earlier today said that they don't feel safe putting their kids in a school system like that. I also wanted to point out, finally, that in Minden, Ontario, they're closing down the ER.
Time is running out for the emergency room in Minden, set to close for good by Thursday because of extreme staffing shortages.
They're worried, Speaker, as anyone would be, if the emergency room they relied on was shut down and they were forced to leave their community in a time of crisis.
So what does the governing conservative government say about an ER closing down?
We're making those investments, and we will continue to do that because we understand as Ontario grows, we need to continue to make the investment in healthcare.
Oh, that is super. Hey, why are ERs closing down? And Sylvia Jones says, hey, we're doing a great job here. What are you talking about?
the Stay in Your Car, In the Driveway radio show. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
It is the iHeart Talk Radio Network. I am Jim Richards. We're going to do a deep dive a little bit later on with Thomas Mulcair and where he stands on what Pierre Poilievre might have learned last night from the Danielle Smith election in Alberta, and also his thoughts on things that Jagmeet Singh said today in terms of accountability when it comes to election tampering from China. That in a half hour over the iHeart Talk Radio Network. Just had somebody send me a song. They didn't like something that I said. And instead of saying anything, they just sent me this song. Now, I don't know if it's appropriate to play on the air, but here's what their thoughts of my opening monologue was.
Hey man, just want to let you know that sometimes you gotta shut the f*** up. And this current time is just one of those times you gotta shut the f*** up.
I don't think you're a bad person, I just don't want to hear you talking anymore. You gotta shut the f*** up.
All right. Perfect timing. It's time for other people to talk. It's called The Rundown, where we get some of the biggest and brightest stars in commenting to hash it out about the day's news. Braden Akers is one of them. He's an associate principal at Navigator. Reshmi Nair is the host of The Rush on the Toronto station on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. Guys, welcome to something. It's a day that I think Braden is looking forward to talking about. Reshmi, Braden, how are you guys doing?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good, thank you. Reshmi?
Doing great, thank you. It's so beautiful out.
Okay, let's start off with where Braden has insisted we start off. Actually, Braden, let's talk about this. A little bit of the behind the scenes, if you do not mind. I know you were do we have to talk about that again? How do you feel about the topic? And I'm like, there's two of them, unfortunately, in the news. And I think you say, unfortunately, in the news, no matter what side of the issue you might be on and what side of history you might be on. But why do you not enjoy this conversation about pride flags and symbolism to show people that you are welcome and in a safe space?
Well, I just think it's really performative. Like, I don't think we need a flag to signal that a space is safe. I think it can be done in a bunch of different ways. In the particular instance of York Region's Catholic School Board, I don't know now if they're really acting appropriately anymore. But what I would say is, I think there's been comments been made by PFLAG saying the school board isn't safe. If that is true, then something substantial should be actually done, and a flag isn't going to change that. A flag is maybe a step in the right direction, but let's talk about actual things that make kids safe.
Well, and what should be done? I mean, we've got Stephen Lecce saying this about what you just said.
Our message to children in our schools, particularly from the LGBTQ+, is that we see them, we value them, and we are proud as a government to stand with them now more than ever.
Now, that's very powerful, except it's the third time he said it, and there's no consequences to what he says. So he's basically like Paul Blart Mall Cop saying, hey, stop, or I'll say stop again.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I don't know. Like, the government, I guess, has a choice, right? Like, do they intervene here or do they not? It's pretty awkward for them. I don't know what they'll do. I think Minister Lecce is a great guy. He's from York Region himself.
Yep.
So I think he's also a Catholic based on his last name. But yep. I think that, I don't know. I don't know what he'll do next. He obviously has some options. He's using fighting words, but... action should come with those words, I would say, if you were to use them.
I would say there should be some action with those words because, I mean, listen, despite what people might think of my opinion, I'm full on, I'm full on for religious freedom, but there's a certain intersection of people's rights and religious freedoms, and people's rights should supersede that, even especially when taxpayer money is being used to prop up your religious school, Reshmi.
Oh, man. The action in this situation, unfortunately, as slow as the progress is on this issue with LGBTQIS+ kids, is that the action is the words, guys. That's what the kids are asking for. And it's support. It's allyship. You can stay a Catholic and fly a rainbow flag. But you don't change. Nothing changes about you. And so what these kids are asking for is support. If you are a member of the Black community and you are asking for other people to support you, that is allyship. And so it's not like these kids are saying, please change things around me. They're asking for support, vocal public support. And that is performed in a rainbow flag.
Yes. Okay, so do we want to move on? Yeah, let's move on to the Blue Jay story, where Anthony Bass released a statement earlier today. While watching this, I wanted him to blink if he wasn't forced to read it like this.
I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine, and I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologized with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
So, listen, color me. People are going to get angry with me for, you know, everybody wants an apology, then he gives an apology, and it just sounds like maybe he might not be all in on it. That might not be fair. But I also do believe, Braden, that sure, what he did might offend a lot of people, but I also don't think that we need to get the pitchforks together with the angry internet mob and go after the guy. I mean, people, like I said in the last section, I don't believe that, I don't have any problem with anybody's religious beliefs, but there is an intersection, and I'm not sure that this is an intersection. It's the guy's belief, and it's not the team's belief, but do we have to go around and, hypnotize people into believing things that they don't believe whenever they don't, Braden?
I don't think we do. I think this is a bit of cancel culture gone amok. Like the guy, I don't know what this guy's views are.
But you got to be honest. Who's better at the cancel culture here? It's the people canceling Bud Light and Target, or is the people who want to cancel him?
Can we just stop canceling everything? Yes. Like, I don't understand. On all sides, really. Like companies, like, if you're going to take a political stance or a social stance, you should be prepared for that outrage, I think, from both sides of the equation, right? Like, that's what happens when you take public stances on things. So no one should be shocked. I don't know. This Jays player, I don't know. Maybe he has some personal views. I don't know what they are. I don't really care, to be honest, either. And, you know, it's just a silly thing on Instagram that he probably shared and probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems.
What about
seems
you, like, Rashmi? Should there be consequences for the player? Because, I don't.
Yeah.
As long as Blue Jays say that those views do not encompass what we believe, and that's what they said yesterday in a statement, so it's over for me there.
Oh, yeah, I think the consequence is what was on display this afternoon. And I think anyone, and I can't speak for everyone who would be upset about it, but I would assume that they would want the person who employs this man to speak to him about the impact of his behavior, and it looks like that's what unfolded. And he met what they put out there, which is go out there and apologize and make sure everyone knows they can come to the ballpark.
Yeah.
So I think it's been handled. People can keep talking about it, if only because there are still issues about it. You know, the two sides thing, you can present it as two sides, but for our entire lives, we've been living one of those sides. To have a trans person in a Bud Light ad is new. And for trans people to be seen is new. So it's not an even playing field. But we're at least evening things out.
It was just her social media. Like, it was, they were not selling these cans to anybody. It was her social media, and she was showing everybody that she had got these custom-made cans from Budweiser, and the next thing you know, we're blowing stuff up and shooting cans of beer, running it over with my 4x4s, and you want me to believe that, yeah, I'm on the right side of history with those dudes? Please. More of the Rundown in a moment on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
All right, still to come in about 15 minutes' time, we'll be joined by Thomas Mulcair. He is a CTV political commentator and former leader of the NDP. What are his thoughts on a call by the NDP to basically replace David Johnston? And that move could have some trickle-down effects that could force, at the very least, an inquiry, which I think would make people feel a lot better. That's what we're going to be doing in about 15 minutes' time, but maybe that's the best place to start right now. Braden Akers is with us. He's an associate principal at Navigator. Reshmi Nair is the host of the drive show called The Rush on News Talk 1010 in Toronto. Here is Mr. Singh, the leader of the NDP party earlier today.
Exactly. And I've said that from the beginning. I have not attacked Mr. Johnston personally. I think he's someone who's clearly served his country, clearly put the needs of his country first. But again, I've said from the beginning, it wasn't the right choice because we shouldn't have gone down the path of a special rapporteur. We should have gone down the path of a public inquiry. It was not going to satisfy the concerns that have been raised, and it hasn't. But I was still okay with Mr. Johnston continuing his work parallel to our demand for a public inquiry. But now I don't think he can even continue his work, given how clear the appearance of bias is.
So here is, and I thought this was interesting, this is how Rachel Aiello of CTV Ottawa breaks things down.
So basically, the government continues to be hit at all angles from this. So if they thought that Johnston's report deciding that a special public inquiry was not required was going to kind of quash this and put the end to it, absolutely the opposite has happened. The opposition are finding various different ways to try to keep this story alive. And this motion, while non-binding, if it gets the opposition parties all on side, which I think it might, given their positions on Johnston, would call for the government to have him step aside from this role and then move forward with a public inquiry. Some parameters around what that would include.
So that she's talking about how it could play out here as, you know, Jagmeet Singh for a long time, and I think Pierre Poilievre and Justin and Jagmeet Singh were going back and forth today about, hey, yeah, if only we knew somebody who could hold them to account. So, Reshmi, do you think that this is the right move? Because I do think David Johnston's credentials are impeccable, but it's hard to look and say, okay, we may have had justice here, but we don't necessarily, because of how polluted the waters are, have the appearance of justice.
I think people just want to find out which governments are trying to meddle with us and just like get to it, right? The partisanship is entertaining to a certain point. I don't know how this is going to end. I personally, as a Canadian, have no problem with David Johnston being the person to hold these public hearings. I do see the interest in an inquiry, though. And I think if we're going to throw the baby out, throw the bathwater. If we're going to get rid of Johnston somehow down the road in this storyline, let's get the inquiry then. That's what I say.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. What about you, Braden?
Yeah, I think the NDP was smart by introducing that motion. But, you know, they have the tools at their disposal to actually get that done if they want to. They're the ones who are propping up the Trudeau government. So, you know, they vote for them to stay in power on budget issues, on confidence motions. They can withhold that support over this issue if they really want to. I think that people want to get to the bottom of it, too. And I don't think a lot of politicians in Ottawa on the opposition benches don't think we have. And this stuff is going to continue as long as they can make it continue. You know, I think the summer may calm things down for the Trudeau Liberals, but We'll have to see. It's the story keeps on having legs, right? Like just Aaron O'Toole just the other day is like talking about, I think it was today, talking about his meeting with CSIS, where CSIS told him he was targeted and his family was targeted, and he continues to be targeted by China. Yeah. So That's a problem.
Yeah, no, definitely is a problem. And I would start by limiting the number of diplomats they can have here. It's ridiculous that they have the same amount of diplomats as does America, our biggest trading partner. But let's move along. I don't know if you guys had time to see this pretty sad video of a truck. No, it was more of like an SUV pulling a trailer, and there were some ducks trying to cross the road. So he ends up slowing down and then pulls into oncoming traffic, and it's a windy road. He shouldn't have crossed the solid line, and there's an oncoming motorcyclist who ends up dying because this guy wanted to avoid some duckies. I get it, but doing that sort of thing is dangerous. It really is. This is a second story out of Quebec. I think there was another one about 10 years ago where a lady decided to pull over and help some ducks cross the road and ended up having, you know, a twisty, windy kind of country road. And a motorcyclist ended up dying in that story, too. But this guy gets 8 months for swerving to avoid the... No, what? No, it's 8 months. Okay, thank you. Hold on. Tony corrected me for not being, but I wasn't wrong, but you corrected me. Thank you, Tony. Continue to do that. Whenever I don't make a mistake, make sure that I do make a mistake. Thank you. That's the confidence that Tony has in me. But Reshmi, I do think it's, I don't know how many people are going to be like, now I can't kill, I have to kill the ducks. What says you, Reshmi?
Yeah, no, driver's ed says you slow down until your lane is clear. So if you don't want to kill the duckies, you would slow down. But crossing that yellow line was very dangerous. I saw the video, really short distance ahead, right, that you could see. Mm. So I wouldn't have done that. It was so terrible to witness on that footage. It was terrible. But I would just slow down. You just slow down and wait for the ducks to cross.
There's so many people get into conversations about, hey, drivers are more drivers of cars are dangerous to motorcyclists, and people think, oh no, the motorcyclists are the dangerous ones. I'm not sure about that. I might be I don't drive a motorcycle, but I might be team motorcycle on this one, Braden.
I think I might be too. Kill the ducks, as far as I'm concerned. I like, if you can't slow down, you got to run over the ducks. Like, and this story is just incredibly sad. The motorcyclist was 19 years old. I can't even imagine what his parents are going through right now, and his family. It's just unbelievable that this would happen over a family of ducks. And it's just so, so sad.
All right. Braden Akers, Associate Principal at Navigator. We got time for the final takes. What's your final take?
I guess mine is like a general lament about how cheap we are as a country. I see news out of Ottawa today. There's a couple stories about A, 24 Sussex, and B, the new prime minister's plane. Our current plane, we can't even go to Asia. We have to refuel in Alaska. It's older than me. We're replacing it with another used plane that's, I don't know how old it is, but there's not even a private space for the PM to take a meeting or a call on the new plane. Like, it's just ridiculous. We're a G7 or G8 country, whatever you want to call it these days, and we can't even afford a freaking plane for our head of government to travel across the world. It makes no sense to me. Anyway,
all that's right. My rant. Other people would argue that guy's traveling more than any other prime minister in the world. Maybe we,
that's
but
true.
That's a different that conversation. Yeah.
traveled the most of all G7 leaders.
Reshmi, what's your final take on this beautiful afternoon in Eastern Canada?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, actually, is I really think that we're spending too much time arguing and not enough listening. Like, all of the York Catholic District School Board stuff is exhausting. But I read a piece in The Walrus about how our smartphones are just making us be more demanding in our communication instead of conversing and just listening to each other in deep thought. So I would encourage everyone to do that, especially this evening as the sun sets across the country. It's so beautiful out. Get out there and smell the flowers. Everything's in bloom.
Are you walking right now?
I'm on Queen Street.
Oh, I thought
I don't have a pizza.
You what?
I don't have a pizza with me.
Oh, you don't have a
but
pizza.
Yes. People, can you hear the Toronto streetcar?
I cannot, but I'll pretend that I can. Yes, sounds beautiful. Fantastic. Anyway, enjoy your evening. And Braden, thank you very much for your time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Go touch grass. I agree with Reshmi, but listen to 1010 while you do it.
That's yes, there you go. Reshmi Neri can hear her on the air in the afternoons in Toronto from 2 until 6 on News Talk 1010. And Braden Akers is an associate principal at Navigator. We thank both of them for their time. In a moment, we'll crunch some of the day's political news with Thomas Mulcair, including more and more people getting on board that if we're going to have to take this thing seriously, this investigation into foreign interference of our elections, then David Johnston is going to have to step aside. That in a moment. I'm Jim Richards. It's the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
A recent study says younger people are more likely to believe in hell.
Hi.
And you are listening to it. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
So why would, there's a person running for mayor in Toronto. His name's Anthony Fury. He's got a big gotcha earlier today where he found out through a whistleblower that Toronto gives out crack pipes to people who might be smoking meth or smoking crack. Now, are they doing that, according to him, because we want more people who are going to enjoy those drugs? Or is there a reason? Could you get sick if you share a pipe? Is it in our best interest to not have more sick people? Is that a thing? Or are we continuing the culture of drug use? We'll find out when we talk to somebody who deals with people who are at risk on the streets, who might do these drugs. Why would you give them a clean pipe? It's got to be because we want more crack people using crack, right? It wouldn't be for a good reason. That coming up after 8 o'clock in about 15 minutes' time. But first, we're joined by the charismatic Thomas Mulcair. He's a CTV political commentator and former leader of the NDP. Mr. Mulcair, thank you very much for your time.
Great to be with you, Jim.
All right. So there are a couple of things that we wanted to talk to you about. But yep. First, if you are Pierre Poilievre, and I mean that in a good way to you, what do you learn from the election of Danielle Steele last night? Anything?
Oh, Danielle Smith's election was
Danielle
was
Smith.
Really,
I'm sorry, Danielle Steele. Geez. Danielle Smith. Yes,
it's your favorite author.
Yeah.
I think that Danielle Smith proved that she was a stronger politician than a lot of people gave her credit for. She came into the debate very prepared. And the NDP had spent the first half of the campaign just portraying her as a nutcase. Oh, she said this, she said all this crazy stuff, don't vote for her, which sort of softens up the electorate a little bit. It can work somewhat, but then people want to know, other than the fact you don't like her, what are you going to do? And in the last 2 weeks of the campaign, Danielle Smith really started to pull away. The polls were indifferent, maybe 1%, maybe 2% difference, maybe 3%. She won by 8%. So she ran an incredibly disciplined campaign. The last 2 weeks of her campaign, her team pivoted somewhat. You know, they had been trying to pull the NDP in a big debate about the economy, but instead she just started sticking to her themes, and it worked. And the painting her negatively didn't work for the NDP. So yeah. The Conservatives proved themselves to be more agile campaigners, and the ability to adapt is typical of a good winning campaign.
Yeah.
You know, you've got smart people in a room and you've got somebody willing to listen, and Chris Smith had to go along with it. I would say that it's a hallmark of the NDP to have clay feet, you know, to sort of not really be able to swing this. You know, you put together enough people in a room and you convince yourself that you talk stuff over and over again, and then all of a sudden you realize that the campaign's over and you've lost. Now, the NDP is consoling itself with the fact that they won 20 out of 20 seats in Edmonton. That's massive, given the fact that the NDP was basically nowhere before Rachel Notley came along. And remember, when she won 8 years ago, it was because the right was completely divided. There was the Wild Rose Party and the Progressive Conservatives. They united under Jason Kenney. He masterfully pulled off what he had promised to do. And as his reward, of course, they fired him. Welcome to Alberta politics. So Rachel Notley got half of the 26 seats in Calgary. She won towns, big towns like Lethbridge. So she can be very proud of what she did. But this is going to sound bizarre, but there's a similarity between what Danielle Smith just pulled off in Alberta and what François Legault has done twice now in Quebec. He basically ignores Montreal, right? He just goes around Montreal and talks to the hinterlands, the countryside, the French-Canadian countryside uses, well, he had a minister out there using, you know, racist terminology against immigrants. He himself took any number of shots against immigrants. So he played these populist themes, and lo and behold, he got a second majority. It's the same sort of, I'm not talking about the racism part here, obviously, but what I'm talking about is Danielle Smith was talking to her base for the last 2 weeks of the campaign. Justin Trudeau is going to come after our resources. When he's saying that he's going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, that's the same thing as saying he's going to have production quotas on our oil and gas. That's our economy. We're not going to let Justin Trudeau do this. So the ham-fisted part that they tried at the beginning, tying Rachel Notley to Jagmeet Singh, that didn't really work because Rachel Notley's not shy about beating up on Jagmeet Singh. But when they started bringing Trudeau into the debate and showing some of Trudeau's policies, then the average Albertan, there's certainly, you know, that middle part, started saying, I'm with her.
Okay. The other thing we wanted to talk to you about was this.
The briefing from CSIS confirmed to me what I had suspected for quite some time.
That's Aaron O'Toole.
My parliamentary caucus and myself were the target of a sophisticated misinformation and voter suppression campaign orchestrated.
So that is maybe not a big surprise to much of anybody, but it keeps this story on the front burner, and things are have to start hurting the Liberals at a certain point. Jagmeet Singh now saying that he is not comfortable with these hearings going on with David Johnston at the front of it, and people are talking that, you know, the opposition, if they start asking, including the NDP, start asking for an inquiry, that we could get one despite the Liberals' best wishes. What's your call on that?
Well, Jim, I'm going to go straight to Aaron O'Toole, and I'll go to a part of David Johnston's abysmal report where he simply affirms, you know, I found no example of the prime minister or one of his ministers failing to act. First of all, how can he make that affirmation? None of the people who spoke to him were under oath, and they were all people who worked for Trudeau. So how is that even credible? But when he says that, how is it then that we're only finding out now about Aaron O'Toole? We've only just found out now about Jenny Kwan, an NDP MP from Vancouver. And it took years for Michael Chong to be told about the potential threat to his family. This is what's so wrong with having had David Johnston there, because the minute you and I have talked about this, I backed him at the beginning because I thought he had a great track record. But then when it became clear that one of the things that had to be looked at was the Trudeau Foundation, and he came from the Trudeau Foundation to this job as so-called special rapporteur, he should have just walked away. Thursday of last week, the NDP publishes on what we call the notice paper, a notice of a motion that was debated today. That notice essentially asked for two things: public inquiry, everybody's been asking for that, and asking David Johnston to step aside. David Johnston is there to investigate interference with our fundamental democratic processes. The House of Commons is the center of that. And when the NDP published that on Thursday, at the end of the day, the very next day, less than 24 hours later, Johnston publishes something in the Globe and Mail in which he says, quote, "I will not be dissuaded." I think he was answering the NDP motion that he knew would come up in the House. And he had the temerity to say that the very fundamental democratic institution that he's supposed to be defending, if a majority of MPs duly elected in our House of Commons say that he should step aside, he's not going to listen to them because he's going to listen to Trudeau. If he does that, he loses all credibility. In my paper today, online with CTV, I just simply say he's still got one opportunity now to leave with his head high and just to say, I've gotten the message, and avoid the vote tomorrow. Because if he doesn't leave on his own, he could get turfed, and it will be an inelegant way to end a great career.
Yeah, no, I agree. Mr. Mulcair, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate
great
it.
Great to talk to you, Jim.
Good
all
to
the
talk
best.
To you. We will take some phone calls on whether or not people would take their kids out of a Catholic district school board if they don't raise a pride flag. Plus, we'll get to the nitty-gritty on why you shouldn't be sharing pipes if you are using meth or crack. There's got to be a reason. Is it to keep people addicted to crack? That's coming up.